podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. My name's Dan Huff from Twickenham. We're here as ever to talk about all things Middlesex County Cricket League related, and there's been plenty going on. The weather's been good, so there's been lots of cricket. There's been one or two interesting incidents on and around and off the field, and me and Sal Ali from North London are going to talk through as much of this as we can in 45 minutes or so. So Sal, how are you? Are you good?
I'm very well, Dan. I'm just thinking today, we've had the British summer highlighted in the space of 2 days. Glorious sunshine yesterday, and today, complete and utter downpour of rain.
Sort of non-critic day, wasn't it, really?
It is. So I'm quite happy to get... yesterday was a glorious day. Stunning. So it's good that today was probably...
That's the right way around for the weekend, isn't it? Sorry to all the sides who are playing in cup cricket, but I'd much rather have a good Saturday than a good Sunday. So, yeah. And where were you standing yesterday? Were you anywhere nice?
I did our twos against Harris at Mirrors, another good game. Yeah, played in a good sort of good spirit, and two sides who, you know, made it a good game itself. We won by, I think, a comfortable margin in the end, posted 250, and they looked good at one point. They had a really good start. Young opening bat looked pretty decent. Kid called Angus Prevost, I think his name. He looks a good little cricketer. And they've got decent overseas this year, who's played first class cricket in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But one of our sort of senior guys got him out quite early, so that was almost like game done. So yeah, we had a good win. So it's nice to get the first one on the board, so the boys can look forward to building that for the rest of the season.
Excellent. And probably the pivotal question, was there much watching of Eurovision late into the night at the North London Pavilion, or were you guys over and above that?
Well, our groundsman stroke barman stroke sort of manager of the club is not a big fan of it, so we have a timer on our TV. When it's left on for a period of time, it starts going off. So when it went off, he had the control, I think. So we kind of got to maybe the last act, and after that, he wasn't having any more of it. It was like, no more revision. So just had to talk to each other instead, which wasn't too
bad. Well, that's got some plus points. Yeah, I hear. I think there might have been something of a revolution if anyone had suggested that at the Green, turning it off just as it got to that point. But I understand his logic. You know, talking to people is often much underrated. Good. So we've had plenty of action in the Prem, as one might expect. Lots going on. What do you make of it?
I mean, took week two, and some good results. Lots of cricket being played, and some runs being scored. We'll start with our leaders at the moment. I mean, joint leaders actually. So we'll go with Tennyson first. I mean, last week they proved they can bowl sides out cheaply, and you know, post a big score. Yesterday was an example of can they chase a reasonable size score, and they did it comfortably. Playing against the Bush posted 239. Player we mentioned last week and mentioned in our pre-season chat, Finn Trenouf, who comes with a massive sort of expectations and reputation, is definitely living up to that. Scored 99 for the Bush. But Tennyson, you know, this week they showed, you know, the bowling was strong last week, the batting was strong again yesterday. Chased it down with like under 4 overs or 5 overs to go. Harry Evans, a previous overseas player, scored 81. And then, you know, again, in the order, you've got guys like Junjun Wallah coming here in 40-odd in no time. So they've set down an early marker to the rest of the league in terms of two convincing wins so far. But Stanmore, I mean, possibly a surprise package so far. But, you know, we know in the past the pedigree of their players and their club and, you know, being national finalists. So, you know, they're no strangers to compete at the highest level. They had a very good win against Hampstead, so... they'll be delighted with that. I mean, having Stephen Rheingold back one is a plus, but also I think he's massively improved from, I would say, 2-3 years. You know, he's played for Glamorgan, so he's had the opportunity to be coached by, you know, real top quality coaches amongst good players, and he's come back looking like a, you know, he could be the player of the season in the way he's
so
going.
So 2 games in. Are we sort of thinking this is a really promising start from Stanmore, or and we should keep an eye on these guys? They could be dark horses for the title, or would that be running before we were really walking?
I mean, yes and no to both, I suppose. I mean, they've got experience within the side. You know, as I mentioned, Ryan Goldie got his brother Grant as captain now, and obviously dad's still going strong, Mark. Tushkaria, who's captain in the past, is, you know, he scored 40 odd yesterday, so you know he's probably relieved of the captaincy now, playing maybe a bit more freedom. There's Krish Patel. There's a lot of good players on that side, and the overseas seems pretty promising as well. They also have some good young players they can throw into the side. So, you know, they've had a good start, and you know they Hampshire struggled at bat, contrary to last week where they scored loads. Ollie Grayson was their sort of mainstay, scoring 65, and there was 191 all out. And as I mentioned, Ryan Gold with 80 odd not out, and Tushkaria coming in as well, scored 43 not out, got them to the 10 points. So yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's early days, Dan, we keep mentions, don't we? But
so we had a good start. It couldn't be a better one.
I mean, look, you know, I mean, when you get promoted, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but the goal is to try and stay up, isn't it? You know, and I'm sure now they're looking to sort of kick on. I mean, and they also have had two tough games. I mean, they're no tough game, easy game, I suppose. But you know, you go away to Ealing and beat Ealing, and then you beat a boy in Hampstead who chased down over 300 last week, and you come away with two wins out of those two games. You've got to be delighted with that. So yeah, well done to Grant Ryan Gold on the side, and I'm sure his brother was a well looked after by Steffi last night when he came to cook in a nice meal.
Yeah, well, I think Grant might have been in a bit of pain. I did hear that he dislocated his shoulder, I think, during the game. And I know there was a bit of a delay in the game. I don't know if that meant that he was actually all right afterwards or if he had to go to hospital. I didn't quite get to the end of that one. But, you know, it sounded like a bit of a painful painful sort of incident. So I hope Grant's OK and is able to, you know, to take the field next week in full working order. Did you hear anything about that? Or
yeah. No, I didn't know. But, you know, I mean, that's that kind of injury where you get people who always pop their shoulder, not always, but have a habit of popping it and popping back in again. So maybe, so I don't know, I'm surmising it could be a recurrence or an old injury he's had before, where it just sort of pops in and pops out. But, I mean, you know, he's captain this year, and I'm sure he's really keen to keep playing. So hopefully for Stanmore, and actually for everyone in cricket, he's fine and he gets to carry on playing and captain inside.
Yeah. Well, I know the game was delayed, but so we wish him well and fingers crossed that that he's, one, not in too much pain, and two, that he's back on the field in week three leading the side. Elsewhere, Richmond, well, they got off to a reasonable start in their game, didn't they?
I mean, they're not short of runs, are they, at the moment? So last week they posted 300-plus, and again against Crouchen, I mean, they know it's going to be sort of trial-by spin. Over 40 of the overs that Stamp Crouchen bowled with spinners. Yeah. But Richmond was an issue for Richmond. They scored 300. The guy at the top of the innings, I think he's Simon Finchley. I'm going to struggle saying his name. So if he does listen to this, I apologise. Julius Sumarawa.
I think I was saying. Yeah.
Sumarawa. Yeah, I think he's from Jersey.
He is.
That's correct.
But yes, he's in the Jersey connection.
Yeah. Okay. So he was instrumental. I mean, 100 off 50 balls is some going, isn't it, really? And then Adam London chipped in late down the order, so he's not a bad player to come in, is he, Adam London?
Yeah, he's all right.
And he's back this year. He had a year off last season. He's back, he's energised, he's looking forward to playing again. He's come in some good form as well, so he's scored 66. As I mentioned, the mainstay of Cratchin's bowling was from their spin. They got a guy called Varun Patel who played last year. He tried with 82, but the damage was done early on by another Jersey connection, the bowler called Will Robertson. Yeah. Will Phillips was telling me about him today that he's a teacher. He's come over maybe a year or so ago, and he just bowls a really sort of good areas. And his three wickets early on was key to putting Cratchit in the back four. I know they have got some guys who can sort of stick in the middle and get things going again, but he was damage was done and it was all over. So the Jersey connection is working well for Richmond at the moment.
Chris Golding was in touch about Samarawa's prowess, because I sort of asked him who he was, and he mentioned, you know, batting low down last year for Finchley, and to be honest, he would have batted quite low down on Saturday for Finchley, but Greg King was unwell, so he was sort of promoted from 8 to 1, and there we are, 100 off 50 balls. pretty impressive stuff.
He's something that's a bit of a bonus, really, I suppose, isn't it, for them coming in and doing that for them? So gives Will the captain a bit of a headache in terms of who opens next week. I'm sure Julius has now played himself into that role.
Well, yeah, it'd be quite tough to drop somebody who's done that, wouldn't it? Or to put him back to number eight. You know, you'd think they probably deserve another go. And if it goes wrong, probably ain't the end of the world. You know, you just send in one of the openers at three.
Exactly. You do. And the another close game was Ealing and North Middlesex.
Yeah, interesting one, that one.
North Middlesex at Ealing. Ealing at North Middlesex, I should say. Nine-run win for Ealing, so first one on the board, Christian Martin's team. I mean, posted 211. Looked like the game was done when they had Northrid 112 for 7. But Hassan Khan, ex-Ealing, you know, has been around for a while in the league and absolutely an amazing bloke. He hit 63. And it looked like at 196 for 7 that it could be well in range. But then 3 wickets fell and Ollie Wilkin took the final wicket and ended Northmid's chance of making 2 out of 2. So Ealing have got their first 10 points on the board. And
well, proper game by the looks of it, that one, wasn't it? Nip and tuck all the way through. We were certainly following it on the green. And yeah, I think Ealing will be... I'd be pretty pleased with that, having not picked up too many points in week one.
Definitely. I also mentioned Dave Sullivan, who I mentioned last week, batted down the order for Northman to hit 44. So him and Hassan were the two who kind of looked like they might get a side over the line and picking up a crucial win. But as we know, I mean, I know, and Ealing were at the end of a close game last week. So, you know, they'll be happy to be victors this time rather than the losers.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this year as well, that there will be, or for me at least, it's got to feel that there's quite a lot of teams that could beat quite a lot of the other teams. My big caveat is Teddington. I think that, you know, either Teddington, you know, just going to sort of run away with it and they'll be, you know, two or three steps ahead of everybody else, or it's got the potential to be a pretty even league. And it could go one way or the other quite drastically there.
I agree. I mean, you know, we keep saying it's the key to availability, isn't it? You know, Teddington have got a strong squad on paper and they've shown it so far. If they can keep everyone available, I mean, they're going to get weeks. We've got one or two players out maybe, but they can keep the core of their side going for the rest of the season, then they're going to be really, really hard to beat.
Absolutely. And last game on the green?
With your guys. So, you know, again, we're talking about getting your first win. So I'm sure Carlos and the guys are delighted to pick up the first victory. Low scoring game, bowled out Hornsby 111. Looks like the guys up top did the damage. Rashid Mulazada and Ben Ellis took, I think, three or four weeks between them, or maybe more than that, 6-7 actually. And Hornsby at 69 for 8 at one point. So did well to get to where they got to in the end. They did take a couple of wickets in bits and spurts in your response, but, you know, for 111 is not going to be enough, really, I suppose, is it, when you've got the likes of some batting that you've got. So, yeah, so first win for Twickenham on the green.
Yeah, quite obviously relieved is probably the right word. And we did try and throw it away, obviously. We lost 5 wickets in the middle reasonably quickly. But yeah, I think the ball was definitely dominating the bat. I think there were one or two shots on both sides, actually, that were probably not particularly edifying. And I think that Hornsby in particular looked to me like a bowling side. Their bowlers, you know, that we know from Division 1 last year, their bowlers have got a bit of pedigree. And I think our bowling's all right. But I think both sides will hope that they can be just a bit more consistent with the bat. And I certainly feel that if Hornsby are going to stay up, then they're going to have to find a few more runs. And they'll know that. And certainly I was talking to Chetan Patel about this yesterday, and he was well aware of it. And a lot of the sides who potentially might be down the bottom there will know that they'll need somebody to score 500 runs. I'm not quite sure Hornsby have got it, but, you know, they may well go and prove me wrong now I've said that. The other thing was, I think the track at Twickenham through the season is going to be a competitive wicket track, you know, a competitive game track. I don't think you're going to get too, I mean, the outfield is going to be lightning fast, but I don't think you're going to get too many scores that are in the stratosphere. It's going to be a game where batsmen have to battle for their runs, and that did come through yesterday as well. So, you're going to have to knuckle down and take you know, make sure you hit the bad balls when they come. And if you do that, then you'll be fine. But yeah, we were pleased, and I think it's going to be interesting next week. We go to Ealing, or we play Ealing, so that'll be an intriguing one. Both sides played two, won one, lost one, and I think both will look at it as an opportunity to stake out a place in the top half.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we'll mention one of the players who played for Hornsby too, while we're talking about Hornsby too. A young lady by the name of Saskia Hawley, who's come over to play some cricket over here, and she's had a good start, actually. I know she's playing against your threes, isn't she, Dan? Yeah. And now she's playing against the twos yesterday and performed really, really well. And she's Australian and has played for, is it Sydney Thunder? I mean, who knows? Could she make the first team?
Well, we've seen more of her than most, because she played for, say, Hornsby threes against our fours and played very well. She got 3 for 20-odd for the twos off 9. on Saturday, and you know, I think there's a strong case for at least thinking about her somewhere near the first team. And you know, our guy said she, yeah, she's a handful, difficult to play against, and the stats would back that up. She was the, you know, most efficient bowler with in terms of run rate, and also took 3 wickets. So Saskia Hawley, yeah, keep an eye out for her. She's you know, she's clearly a decent player. There was one other thing I want to mention about the game on the green, so just because I think you know, I talked about Carlos Nunes a lot, but it's not just that he's a decent cricketer, but he's a decent bloke. Because we had an incident with a dislocated shoulder just like at Stanmore, and it was a spectator who sort of very nobly went to get the ball, but when he went for four, and he slipped and he fell on the railings that go around the green, and it was a pretty nasty fall, and everybody saw it. And he fell right on his shoulder, and we weren't totally sure if he dislocated it or if he'd done something worse, maybe broken his collarbone. But the guy was, you know, sort of lying down in a bit of pain and really struggling. And it was getting towards the end of the game, and so thankfully, Arthur George's partner, Arthur George from Hornsey, was there. She was a medical practitioner. She came over and made sure that we did the basics right. But then you're waiting for an ambulance, and ambulance is like, you know, it won't come in. And it was pretty disappointing, actually, that it was clearly going to take a number of hours for the ambulance to get there. So the game finishes, and Carlos just comes over and says, "Right, I'm taking him now," and gets the guy into his car and goes straight off to Westmead Hospital. And he didn't have to do that. And I just thought it was a pretty decent thing for a captain of a cricket team to do straight after the game had finished, within about 10 minutes. You know, he shook hands, gone over to see how the injured chap was, and took him off to the Westmead. So respect you for doing that. I thought that was a pretty good effort.
Oh, Carlos is a top bloke, mate. One of the league legends. I keep mentioning in my reports, and when I speak about him, and generally lovely guy off the pitch as well. So there's no surprise at all he did that.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with that. I have to say, it was a good do. Moving on then. So enough about the Prem. We will come back to all of these ideas and theories in weeks to come. In terms of Division One, do you want to talk us through that, or shall I go?
You can go, Dan.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I tend to follow Division One for the County League with my write-up, so it does make sense. Number of things catch the eye immediately. Bromsgrove, 2 from 2. Said last week that they were one of the relegated sides to that we expected to do well. We expect Finchley to do well, but of course Bromsgrove were playing Finchley, so one of them had to lose. James Overy bounced back from his duck the week before with an impressive 67. Will Leggett, 72 in there as well. And I think generally Bromsgrove had a pretty good performance. I know that Finchley were a little, that they felt they didn't quite, you know, turn up. They didn't quite do all that they can do to, you know, to put Bromsgrove under pressure. I mean, it was a close game. Bromsgrove only won by 15 or so runs, but ultimately, I think Finchley were a little disappointed that they didn't do a bit more. But Bromsgrove, 2 from 2, for me, looking like the side that may be there to beat. And I say that because a couple of the other potential big hitters, you know, they slipped up. First of all, we've got Acton, a side that we've talked about a number of times already. Good all-round unit. No real superstars, but plenty of good cricketers. And they were pretty well beaten at Wembley. It was 2-3-1 versus 186, and certainly Sheringham in from Wembley, he was pretty pleased. He said that their boys did you know, did all of the different aspects of the game well, and they're of course 2 from 2 now. The other side, who I think many of us were tipping, Harris St Mary's, they got beaten by North London. So I guess your guys were pretty pleased with that, were they?
I'm delighted, Dan. I mean, building up to the game, it didn't look great for us because Will Jones was not fit enough to play. Will Lake, one of our openers, was away this weekend. He scored a lot of runs last year, so he's, you know, instrumental in our batting. And then another one of our players, Matt Riley, who I've mentioned previously, very exciting young cricketer, fell down the stairs at home.
Oh
So
dear.
three of your sort of, yeah, no,
You're right.
but hopefully he should be okay. Yeah, he's cool. So yeah, three key players not available, going to play against the side with an ex-pro playing, and you know, being tipped up to win the title, at least get promotion. And we just, as something I mentioned earlier on, we have now got a bit sort of like, you know, resilience and resistance within the side. So we've had a really slow start. I think we was like maybe 50 off 20 overs potentially.
Right.
So we sort of kicked on, and Jahid Ali is a top player, and he scored 76.
I was going to ask you about Jahid Ali because he scored 70 at the weekend, didn't he? And that's clearly a significant contribution. And we haven't said much about him so far, but he looks like he might be a decent asset this season, right?
He's a very good cricketer, mate. He's playing with a really bruised thumb at the moment as well, so he's not fully fit. Just because of shortened bodies, he's turned out. But he's got a great sort of his pedigree is fantastic. He's got 100 against England A a few years back playing for Pakistan A, and that
decent
attack had Mark Wood bowling against him and the Curran brothers. So it's not bad, is it really? And some other guy at the other end who batted him, a guy called Babrazan, I think, was batting with him at the same time. So so he's come with lots of good history and good experience. So he's key for us. But yeah, I mean, it looked like Harrison Reynolds might have won the game at one point because I think they needed 18 off the last three, seven down. But again, the boys sort of stepped up and got us over the line. So delighted, really, really good win against a very good side. So we have our first one on the board and we hopefully use that as a springboard to sort of kick on now.
Absolutely. And you've got Austerley next week, which could be interesting. Right? Austerley conceded 300 against Enfield. Tony Sayers, in his usual shy, quiet, retiring way, was battering the ball to Kingdom Come. Big 100 there in at a strike rate of about 200, which is always entertaining to watch. And Austerley got nowhere near it really, 213 for 9. And they've got an interesting new acquisition as well, who I guess you'll be coming up against.
Yeah, the guy I mentioned last week, Dan Keswick Williams. I mean, just quickly on Enfield, I mean, someone told me yesterday they've scored 300. I was thinking, okay, how many did Sayers make of that? Because he is generally the catalyst for any sort of big score that for Enfield score. And, he's on this day, he's just so destructive, isn't he? But, yeah, come back to your point. Keswick Williams played the first game. Not the best day he's ever had. I think took 1 for 50 maybe off his overs. So we're hoping that sort of acclimatisation to the league continues next week as well when they play us.
Yep. Well, one to keep an eye on. I mean, and we mentioned last week, Carlos Brathwaite started pretty badly for Nolan Dorridge, and he, first ball duck and the car getting nicked. But I think he managed to score big runs yesterday for K&D. So it may take time to acclimatise, but I'm sure that people of his quality will make their impact in due course. And he's going to have to, because Austerley already minus 5 points. I don't know the details, but it looks very much like a registration issue. Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, that's the case. I mean, it's potentially quite a big game really next week because, we beat them and we've got a 25-point lead already over them. Yeah. So it's the kind of thing where you want to maybe look to, as I said, get the win and you're in a good position. Yeah. So at least that's one potential relegation spot, maybe, I wouldn't say allocated already, but, a side in threat.
You're not wrong. 26 points after three, that's already a significant margin, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
If it goes down that route. The last game, another game with plenty of runs. Barnes were all out for a flat 300 against Winchmore Hill, and it seems like Winchmore Hill are leaking a few runs there, which I think they'll probably want to stop. And Winchmore Hill were 251 all out, and I know that Barnes were reasonably pleased. Think things seemed to click pretty well, they felt that they're making their way in this league too. It was their first win after promotion last year. And their skipper, Alex Scott, was generally pretty happy with their all-round performance. But he did also say that he felt that things not quite working for Winchmore Hill yet. But when they do, they're going to be a decent side. So, it may be that Barnes met them at the right time and that others may find Winchmore Hill a rather tougher nut to crack. But we shall see. We shall see what that brings. Division 2, Sal, what caught your eye there?
I mean, the game that caught my eye was the game between the two promoted sides from last season. Harrowtown playing Brainerd Trail Finals, and Harrowtown have again demonstrated their ability to score big runs and how attacking their players are. Posting 310 for 6, Rafas Hamid scoring 79, and Sanjay Mishra 92, and then Trail Finals again chasing such a big score. Found it a bit of a mountain to climb and ended up in 226 all that. So they've not had the start they wanted.
Well, I was going to say, it looks a bit like Trail Finders bowling is going to struggle because they've had a couple of huge scores against them, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, last week was it 330 maybe?
Yeah, it's more than
330. So over 600 runs conceded in 2 weeks is not good, is it? So like you mentioned, something must be done quite quickly, I imagine, in the bowling department.
Yep. And I see your neighbours Highgate beat South Hampstead, the old warhorse Jake Sharland in the runs again.
I mean, Jake's had a stellar start, hasn't he, so far? He's got runs last week, he's got runs this week, he got runs against us, actually, when we played in a friendly as well. So he's in good form. So I'm hoping he stays fit for Highgate. Scored 58 in their 2-1-7 for 9 against Southampton. And Dishan Patel hit 88, but Hampton ended up on 191 for 9. So 2 for 2 from Highgate. And another side's 2 for 2 Southgate. We all know, I think the Titans are going through a sort of sticky period of time amongst in within their club in terms of, you know, players maybe coming into the club, and they found it quite hard going so far, and they were all out for 73. Darrow Edwards took 5 for 14, and then Southgate was comfortable in as with Tom Outsell scoring 45, not out. So another side of maximum points so far is Southgate.
Yeah, I do feel for the Titans a bit. All of their sides got, I think I'm right in saying, at least three of their sides certainly got very heavy thrashings, quite frankly. And it may well be all four. I can't quite remember the fourth one's result. But it looks like a club that's struggling to get sides out, really.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I know they sort of changed their name, so it's some kind of rebranding. So maybe that process might take a couple of years to bed in, and new players will come eventually, and they'll sort of get back to sort of, you know, higher heights than they are at the moment. But yeah, they're nice people. It's, you know, they're always very hospitable when you go and play their place. Yeah. So hoping that they do sort of, you know, their fortunes turn within the next sort of few weeks.
And it really does happen. I'd have thought many of the listeners to this podcast will talk about a given year in their club's history where it was just a horrible year. We certainly had one at Twickenham where I think four of our five teams went down. And you know, it just happens like that sometimes, right?
Definitely. I think the key behind it is having people behind the scenes who are ready to make that push and trying to get things going again. So if they've got the individuals there, then I'm sure, you know, the good days will come back.
Yeah, fingers crossed for them. Brentham also, they've started quite positively, haven't they?
Yeah, really good. I mean, again, another win for them. I mean, big score against the East Coast. I mean, 2-9, 8-9. Preet Patel, 102, and Nikunj Prajapati, 78. I mean, East Coast had a good start, 1-5-8 for the first wicket. So, you know, the chase was on. Charlie Hobday, 87, and Harpal Sagu, 59. But five wickets for side, Usman Makbul ended East Coast's hopes, and there was 234 all out. So, yeah, Brentham looking really good. And then East Coast, again, like we mentioned regarding the trail final, they've conceded quite a few runs in the first two games they've played so far. So maybe the bowling department is something they're looking at in terms of addressing for the next few weeks.
Yep, something to perhaps work on, yeah. And it's worth noting, actually, that in that division, there's five teams that have won two games. So, and obviously, that's not going to, you know, at some point, they're going to play each other. You've got five teams on 20 and then five teams on basically nothing. So there's already some gaps opening up.
Yeah, I mean, the games will be good, won't they, when they sort of end up playing each other. So, I mean, next week, actually, straight away, you've got Harrowtown playing Harrow. So that should be a really good game. Two attacking sides. He'll be really going for it, and we haven't mentioned Harry yet as well.
I was going to say that they were down one of their big hitters from last week, weren't they? Carmichael didn't play.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happened to him. I'm not sure if he's gone elsewhere or if he's not available this weekend. But there's no issue there because his best mate Ronald Lutton just steps in, doesn't he? You know, he's okay. He's like, hold my beer. I'll show you how it's done. And he's got 110 of 84 balls and a good chase against him. Kind of chases down 257. So Harry, another side mate who made it 2 out of 2. So that game against Harrowtown should be potentially a cracking game, really.
Yep.
As a side, two sides who like to score big runs, attacking players. So it could be a real run fest at Rainer's Lane, I think they play, don't they, Harrowtown?
Yeah, yep. That's it, isn't it? Yeah. No, it's going to be 100 versus 120 now you've said that, Sal. On paper, it's got 300 v 300 all over, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Good, good. Now, if we move into Division 3... I mean, again, I'm not going to say that our predictions are something over and beyond what other people might have done, but our predictions are pretty good here. We said Kenton and Wickham House are probably going to be the teams to beat, and, they both started pretty impressively, haven't they, with two nice wins again last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, emphatic win for Wickham House, scoring 238 against Tower Hamlets and then bowling out for 65. Dilesh Pereira, 92, and then one of their war horses were in the side, Bilal Chowdhury took 6 for.
Yep.
So they're making an early statement regarding their hopes for the season. And Kenton, another side we've mentioned in the past, who, on paper will probably fit in their Division 2 club, and there's no harm in saying that at all. But they obviously need to prove that. So they're making a statement now as well in terms of their aspirations for the rest of the season, beating Chiswick quite comfortably by 6 wickets.
Yep. Yeah, and Ali Pally, the other side, who have played 2-1-2, and we haven't said much about them, but I always think they're a long-standing club. They generally, in my experience, always played a game the right way, and they did pretty well last year, actually, didn't they? Coming up with London Tigers, and I think they might be one to watch as well because they beat Actonians quite impressively, right?
They have got a very good player, a gentleman by the name of Sean Gomez, who's I think South African. Scored big runs last season on Saturday. He scored 153 out there, total 227. So I'm not sure what that works out in terms of the maths and potential to runs he scored, but it's quite a high percentage, isn't it, really, compared to the next highest score in the innings was 19. So it just shows how good he is. And if he's available all season and playing the way he's at the moment, he could be, you know, someone who could be the key to them pushing for the two promotion places, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. And I see they play Wickham House on Saturday.
Oh, that'd be a good one, yeah. Okay, yeah. Another good game.
You don't get the cricket equivalent of six pointers in the middle of May, but nonetheless, I think it'll be an interesting game to keep an eye on, to see.
It's a good test, isn't it, for both sides, really?
Yeah.
Ali Pally, do they want to see themselves in the promotion side? Okay, you don't get an easier, harder game than Wickham House, and then Wickham House also, you know, they're going to come across as probably one of the best bats in the league. You know, how they're going to cope with that situation. So, yeah, fascinating game on Saturday.
Yep. I mean, one of the surprising results for me in this division was actually one of the other teams I think are ultimately going to be up there, and they were the team I tipped, and that's London Tigers. They came a bit of a cropper against SKLP, right?
Yeah, I mean, quite a low-scoring game. 184 played 184 for nine with London Tigers, and SKLP CCC chasing down those five wickets. In regards to our main man, Sammy Hyde, that's the Sammy Hyde I watched this weekend. Got a bat, one not out. Right. But no wickets. So he's in the runs beat.
So we're currently 3-1. Three wickets versus one run in his season so far. Okay.
So yeah, we'll be regularly updating Sammy Hyder's stats every week because he's our, you know, sort of like a talisman for the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. But in all seriousness, interesting result that. I was quite surprised when I saw that SKLP had put one over on London Tigers, and you know, maybe SKLP have got more about them than we realised as well. So we'll keep an eye on them, see how that one goes. And next week, London Tigers play Chiswick, who have played 2, lost 2. So I do think they'll be looking to get back on the horse quite quickly.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, saying that, I mean, London Tigers did have the opposition 4-2. So good response from SKLP CCC to
CCC.
Make sure I get that correct. Yeah, to sort of fight back early on and come back and win the game. So yeah. I mean, their club has been around a while, haven't they? Not much spoken about, but they're, again, when you talk about sort of people and cricket and playing in the right way, they're another club that comes to mind when you speak about that, because I've been there before in the past in North London, been very friendly people, really on and off the pitch, just play the cricket in a fair way. So, you know, well done to those guys.
Absolutely. I remember a game in R2s 15 years ago against SKLP at their place, which was fantastic. Real ding-dong-do. Very good guys. And, and we haven't really played them since, but I do remember them as being good guys to play against, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, as we move into Division 4, only one side in Division 4 with a 100% record, and that's another side you'd hope would be good guys to play against and decent blokes, because it's called Friends United. So Friends United are played to 1-2. They beat West Harrow. They chased 205 at the weekend, and they got them pretty easily by the looks of it. 207 for 5 in 34 overs, so plenty of overs to spare. So Friends United looking pretty good. A whole raft of teams have won one game. Old Eyes are worthy and they're just in second place, but by next to nothing at this stage of the season. They got 12 ahead of Besborough with 11 and North London Muslims with 11. But Isleworthians, they lost what looks like a pretty close encounter against Kensington and Chelsea. On 192 for 9, played 188, and they were all out off 45 overs. So that looks like it went right down to the wire. But Kensington and Chelsea, to mix my metaphors, kept their powder dry until it really mattered. So good on them. At the bottom, poor old Pinner Challengers are bottom with played 2, lost 2, but, and it's quite a significant but, they, you know, they're clearly not too far away. They're 149 all out against Headstone Manor, and Headstone Manor just about got there, winning by two wickets. So they'll be looking to try and go one step further and get 10 points on the board next week. Now, Division 5, Sal, what did you pick out there?
So Division 5, we mentioned last week there was a game where there was we don't know the forwards and outs at the moment, so we're not going to go into too much detail. But one of that side was involved in that were Perivale, and they played Swami Rapa yesterday. And the game was our first team tie of the season. So fascinating finish at the end. Perivale 202 all out. And then Shrikant Jirai, who came on last year on the podcast, told you that there was 150 for 5 of 21. Then the wicket started to fall. And then the young 16-year-old Chris Shaw, the last man out, and the Spurs were tied. So, yeah, a good finish to, obviously, a very, very close game.
Yeah, it sounded like a good game, actually. I mean, I spoke to Rizwan Khan from Perivale, who got 98 himself, actually. He clearly made a decent contribution. Yeah, I guess when you're 182 for three, 202 all out with a bit of time to bat is probably not where you want to be. And he said, you know, that they were a bit disappointed not to have got 230, 240, 250. And Srikanth, he sort of said much the same thing. They were 150 for five, as you mentioned, off you know, basically only 20 overs. And then the wickets started falling. And as is always the case with ties, right, ebbs and flows. Both sides could have won it, could have lost it. And then poor old Krish Vora was the last man out. Apparently it was a stonking catch. The lad at first slip took a really good low catch. And there you go, 5 points each. Scores tied. And cricket, as they say, sounds like it was the winner. So good on both of those teams there. With the Perivale against New Calypsonians game, yeah, I mean we weren't there, we don't know the details, but it sounds like the league is going to pass a formal judgment on this this week. But it looks like certainly in terms of the County League website at the moment that it's certainly Calypsonians who've got the points. But we'll keep you up to date as when the official. When the official score comes through on that one. Other games in Division 5, well, London Sportif and are also unbeaten. And I, you know, that they to me look like a side who started quite well, and they've come up from the division below last year. They were 222 for 5, chasing 221 at Northwick Park. So maybe they could be another team in that division who are looking forward to a long and successful summer. Now, the bottom division, Division 6, much going on there, Sal?
I mean, this league is fascinating.
You're going to trigger me. I know stuff's been going on there that sends me down the wrong path.
I looked at one of the scorecards this morning. The first one that came to mind was the extras. And the game between Stallions and London Super Kings, high-scoring game, which Stallions won by 20 runs, having posted 279. But in their innings, London Super Kings bowled 66 wides.
66 wides.
Doesn't end there. And when Stallions bowled, they bowled 34 wides. So the 100 wides bowled in that game. I mean, dread to think what time their game finished. And in that division itself, I mean, I'm not sure if it's either maybe the quality of the cricketers, maybe the pitches. They don't have umpires who are qualified as well, I suppose. Over 300 wides were bowled in that division this weekend.
I'm going to have to go and lie down in a cool room. So 300 wides.
Yeah, I did warn you beforehand, so at least you were semi-prepared for this. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that sort of trend sort of continues all season. But yeah, I mean, 100 wides has got to be near enough some kind of record, I suppose. It's just, you know, insane.
I don't want to state the obvious, but I mean, you know, bowling the ball straight has its advantages, right? You're not giving away runs. You're not playing when it's the middle of the night. And I do think, and you see it higher up than Division 6, I do think a lot of teams try and be a bit too clever. Just get the damn thing straight for starters, then work out what you're going to do with it. But 300 wides in a division in one day, I would love to know if there's been a worse performance than that. And maybe Paul Smith has those stats. Maybe he doesn't, quite frankly. In fact, he probably doesn't. So if anyone knows of any stats that can beat that, then we're all ears, I guess.
I mean, the game also went the full distance. They went to 90, so both sides batted 45 overs. So, you know, eventual allocation of overs. And alongside that, you had almost another 17 overs bowled. So, you must be looking at what? I don't know, 8 o'clock.
It's going to be late, that is. It takes a long time to bowl that many overs.
So, interesting.
There we go. Any other scores catch your eye in that division? It's quite early days, obviously, and the teams are finding their way. But anything else you saw that you thought was good?
Yeah, generally, it wasn't too many more high scoring games in that division. Norfolk Manor did post a big score, 283 for 9, and when they beat South Harrow by 172. And the club we mentioned last week was sort of struggling at the moment. Sierra's Cardinals were bowled up 76 this week to go with last week's low totals. Also, there's probably some concerns there regarding the batting and ability to score lots of runs or some kind of competitive total at least. So they look the side who may be finding things a bit tricky so far in the division. But again, you know, as you mentioned in the preseason podcast, do they all play each other once? Or do they? You said, is it some kind of format?
They all play each other once, and then they play seven teams twice.
Okay, so how that's allocated, I'm sure powers that be will be able to tell us one day. But yeah,
I remember.
So yeah, I'm sure if London Super Kings play Stallions again, they'll be maybe looking to start maybe at 10 o'clock this time rather than the time that we have normally.
Yeah, although having said that, it'll be an all-day game. Not an all-day game, it'll be a time game, won't it? Will help at least in terms of the wide.
Yeah.
Now, I did notice as well, that obviously South Harrow had a bit of a battering, 172-run defeat, but they won in week one. So it just goes to show that, you know, you can do well one week and not so well the next. Cricket, funny old game and all that.
It is indeed.
Yeah. So in terms of our highest and lowest scores, where do we stand this week? What caught your eye?
So you mentioned North London Muslim, they scored 330 in Div 4, so they take the accolade for the highest score. Lowest score was shared by Tao Hampson, Ealing Hanwellings, and I think I didn't write that actually. I think it was 65.
Right.
So I would check that, yeah. And in regards to the top score, I mean, great effort here by Richmond's Fives. We scored 413 against Southampton Threes.
400, now that is going to take some beating. That's a crazy score in 50 overs. 413 for five.
Yeah, I mean, huge scores, isn't it? I mean, one was it? Gentleman here called Rashid Mustaq, 162. So I'm thinking he'd be looking to play maybe in the fours next week. Maybe
in case you're going up, honey.
You know, if he's not picked any 11s higher than that, he must be thinking what's going on here. So yeah, well done to Richmond. I mean, that's a mammoth score. I mean, credit to those guys. And then we have mentions for Winchmore Hill, who scored 365 for five against Highgate Fours. Kunal Patel, 187, so well done to Kunal. And then Harrow Fours, 344 for seven against Acton Fours. So there were some big runs being scored this weekend. And I'll let you talk about the lowest score then.
Yeah, the lowest. Well, yeah, that was a slightly funny one. Poor old Middlesex Titans were 44 all out against Twickenham Fives, and Dean Stonebridge knocked that off in, I think he was 31 off 13 balls, so didn't take long. They were soon back getting ready. Well, they were going to try and get back for the FA Cup final, but they got back for the League One playoff, the Championship playoff, which started nearly 2 hours previously. So, that was definitely a quick game. There was a little bit of an incident, as it were, on the Friday night, which may be of wider relevance to listeners, actually, in that. I mean, I feel for Titans. They're really struggling, and they got in touch about 7 o'clock, said he couldn't get a side out for their fours. And when we were obviously a bit disappointed because we just had good availability across the club. And so we said, oh, well, OK, that's a bit of a shame. But thanks for letting us know. But we did have a ground that we paid the hire for, and we had a tea that we were sort of, you know, preparing and paying someone to do. So we got back in touch with them and said, you are sort of aware of the league rules on this, and that basically there's £100 fine that you have to pay if you cancel a game at any level after Thursday evening. And I don't think the Titans were aware of that. So within about an hour, they come back to us and said, I know we said we could only get seven men before, but we can get a team now. We can get 10. And we were like, okay. And, none of our guys had sort of run off back to work or anything. We had the same side out. So we played. But I don't think the exec are massively enamoured with sides conceding and then unconceding. And I think there may be wider ramifications of that. And I suspect the official result may ultimately be conceded rather than lost by 10 wickets. Now, as far as Twickenham are concerned, we don't really care either way. We did want to get a game on, and we were quite happy when they came and said they could play. But it might be worth remembering, if you're going to call a game off after, I think it's 10 o'clock on Thursday, it might be 9 o'clock, but it's in the league constitution, then you're going to pay a fine for that, because it's so late in the day that it's disrupting the plans of your opponents. And I don't think the Titans were aware, but if other sides are in that position, Just make sure you know what you're doing when you make that call. So, yeah, a bit disappointing, but at the same time, we'd always rather get a game on, and even if it's a quick game, than not play. So that's the background to that. And, well done to the Titans folks who did ultimately turn up, and, hope they go a bit better next week.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier on, didn't we, about the changes they're going for at the club. So hopefully it's not long lasting, and it's quite, it's a short-term situation.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Over and beyond the County League on Saturday, and even though it was a pretty average day weather-wise on the Sunday, there was some cricket on, right, in the National, and it didn't go wonderfully well, if I got this right.
Yeah, not on the best day in terms of our clubs in the competition today. And we've sort of taken on home county sides in various matches and come second best, so Ealing being beaten by Buckingham Town today. in a close game, which would reduce to 15 overs per side. Tennenton also in a reduced overs game.
15 overs per side?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so DLS obviously came into play and Ealing was set 1-3-8, and I think they fell about 10-11 short. Tennenton lost on the last ball to Aston Rowant, who chased down Tennenton, scored 219 or 30 overs and got them the last ball. And then Brunswick beat by Datchet, I think by 6 wickets in the end. So not the best days. But Richmond are shining like so far for the league, so they went through. And Crouchen will try again against Hornsey, sorry, against Wanstead next week. That was called off completely, that game.
Okay, and are they the only two sides we've got left?
I think so at the minute. I need to check. I think there might be one or two more, but I remember last week we did speak about it, didn't we? I think Stanmore have gone through, but they didn't play today. So I do need to check that. So we'll get back to you about that next week.
Okay. Good. Well, it sounds like, again, that we've got, you know, some representation in the Cups and you know, wish those guys well. If you're looking for some cricket to watch on a Sunday, I always think these national games are, you know, fascinating encounters to see our sides play. Other sides from other leagues here in the southeast, and it's often a nice thing to pop by and, you know, for a couple of hours, you'll see plenty of people that you've played against or with or you know, have not met for ages. So I'd strongly encourage, you know, people to go and watch these games if they're at a loose end, because they're generally good value, aren't they?
Yeah, some really good quality cricketers on show, so definitely, if you get a chance to go.
Good. So anything else you want to throw in, Sal? Anything else we need to know?
No, I think that really covers it for this week. So yeah, we're looking forward to another good week of cricket next week. I think the forecast looks pretty good so far.
Have you been reading the Daily Star again?
I've not checked this week's Daily Star copy. I'll have to find out tomorrow and see what they're saying. But at the minute, it looks pretty decent. So hopefully the rain we've had for this month has came to then gone. So we'll have another full week of nice sunshine. And
hey, people knock the Daily Star, Sal, but you said last week it's going to be a scorcher this week, and they weren't wrong, were they?
Well, there you go, mate. You know, I know all the right sources when it comes to weather.
Good. Cool. Well, fingers crossed week three is as good weather-wise as week two was. And whatever happens, we'll make a point of coming back and having a chat about it. So thanks again, Sal, and we'll touch base next week.
Good, Dan. Thanks a lot, mate.
Okay. Bye.